Miss you this morning. I won't ask if you miss me. Yeah, thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 31 is where we will begin. While you're turning there, I will just let you know that Pastor Bucklew has been pretty sick the last few days. He said he's been vomiting and all sorts of problems that he's been having. So keep him in your prayers. Hopefully this is just temporary sickness that he'll get to feeling better soon. But you know it's bad when he can't preach in his church. So be praying for him. He was going to try to preach tonight. Whether he did or not, I don't know. But just keep him in your prayers. Tonight we're going to look at chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says here, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Neither be dismayed. The Bible says almost 13 times, be not dismayed, or a form of that in the Old Testament. 17 times, be not dismayed. And tonight we're going to look at three things that cause dismay in our lives from the Bible. Three things that cause dismay. Dismay is basically means to be separated from our strength. You know, that's what dis, the prefix, means. And then may is where we get our English word might, strength. So to be separated from our strength or to be deprived of our ability. That's what the word means. So 17 times God tells us, don't allow that to happen. Don't allow yourself to be separated from your strength. Of course, we know the Bible is clear. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's God who gives us our strength. So when we're separated from our strength, we're in serious trouble. Because if we don't have God, then we have some problems. God is our strength. He is the source of our strength. And if we allow ourselves to be parted from that, we're going to have some problems. So let's look at those three things tonight, just quickly here. The first thing we see is found in Joshua chapter 8, and that is not moving on past sin. Not moving on past sin. We need to understand, and we do understand, I trust, that sin is a serious thing. Sin needs to be dealt with. We need to confess our sin, and if we do, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But once that is done, it needs to be forgotten. And here in Joshua, we know chapter 7, that after they had conquered Jericho, they came to Ai, but God had made it clear that all of the treasure and all the wealth in Jericho was to be dedicated to the Lord. Achan, as you recall, chose to disobey that command and stole some things, gold and silver and a garment, and hid them under his tent. And then they went to try to take the city of Ai, and they lost 32 of their soldiers. The Lord was not with them, and Joshua is distraught. He doesn't know what's going on. He had God's promise, don't be afraid, God's going to be with you, and now all of a sudden they lost. And he's thinking, how in the world am I going to get these people to follow me after this? And God tells him to get up. Someone has sinned and it needs to be taken care of. They take care of it, and we know Achan is stoned. He pays the price for his sin. In chapter 8, verse 1, look at what God says, the very next thing. The Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people, and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Not moving on past sin. God reminds Joshua, once this has been taken care of, once the sin was dealt with, it's over, it's done. Now let's move on. Ai is next. You know, he's basically saying, go get them. This one's next, and I'm with you. You're going to have the victory. We need to move past our sin. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we deceive ourselves and think that the sin is so bad that we just have to continue to dwell on it and harp on it and show enough. We haven't shown enough remorse. We haven't shown enough sorrow over the sin that we have committed, and it's just gonna There's just nothing that can take care of it. It's so grievous. It's so horrible. I'm just so dirty, mean, nasty, down, rotten, evil, and for me. I'm just a horrible sinner. Yes, we're all sinners. But you're forgetting something, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if that's the case, then that means all sin, including the one that you think you haven't suffered for long enough, or you think that somehow you have to stay and wallow in your self-misery because you've done something so horrible. Look, don't make God a liar, because that's what you're doing. God said it takes care of it. And if we say, well, no, it doesn't take care of this sin, then that, again, puts us at odds with God. And that's not a good place to be. We need to move on past sin. Confess it, take care of it, then move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. Here Paul is speaking, touching on this subject. He's referring to the letter that he wrote them earlier about dealing with sin. And in chapter 7, beginning in verse 8, he says there, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Godly sorrow unto repentance is good. That's to lead us to that place where we are humble before God and we confess, where our heart is broken, and we get things right with God. That's a good thing. But to sorrow unto dismay is not. Because that simply means we haven't got it taken care of. We haven't got it right with God. We're stubbornly hanging on to it, and we want to suffer for it some more, for lack of a better word. We need to move on past the sin. What did Jesus say? You know, when He forgave us our sins, He said, our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. You can't get any farther apart than that. You know, you've heard it before, I trust, that if you start at the North Pole and go south, eventually when you hit the South Pole, what direction are you going to start going? North. Because there is a set distance between north and south. There's only so far you can go south until you hit a point where you start going north again. But if you start from here and you start going east, at what point do you start going west? You never will. The distance is infinite, which is why Jesus chose those two directions and not north and south, to show us how far away He has put our sin. We need to just trust Him and believe Him. We have two examples of this. Matthew 27 gives us the example of sorrowing unto dismay, and that was Judas. Matthew 27, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says that he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And in verse 3 of chapter 27 of Matthew, it says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself." And then if you look just back to chapter 26 and verse 75, remember what happened when Peter denied the Lord three times? It says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." And we know, of course, what happened in the book of Acts. We put those two scriptures together and we see that Peter got the sin taken care of. He repented, he sorrowed to repentance, and God then used him in a very powerful way for the rest of his life. Judas, he had sorrow, he was sorry for what he did, but it never brought him to true repentance with God. And we see the contrast here. We need to be like Simon Peter and follow that example. If we sin, we do something wrong, yes, we're sorry for it, we go to God, we get it taken care of, and then we move on. Move on. Don't stay there wallowing in it. Don't stay there being sorry for it. If God either keeps His word or He doesn't. He said, if it cleanses us from all sin, then it does. and we need to rest in that. Luke chapter 15, we have the prodigal son. We know what happens here. The younger son didn't want to wait for dad to die, so he got his inheritance early and went and blew it on riotous living. And when he had spent everything, there arose a famine, and all his friends disappeared. And he ended up, in verse 15, a citizen of that country sent him into his fields to feed swine. And verse 16 says he would have eaten what the swine ate. This always has a special meaning to me because I worked on building hog barns for several years. I know too much information about the intimate lives of pigs. It's not a pretty thing. I didn't eat pork for a very long time. And that's saying something because I eat anything. But I didn't eat pork for quite a long time after that. But so to be in this condition, and by the way, he's speaking to the Jews. So that's a double whammy there. This is how desperate he is. I'll eat the pig slop. Just let me eat the pig's food. And what happens? Verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, You're exactly right, you dirty, low-down thieving coyote. You stole my money, you blew it on riotous living, and now here you come back thinking I'm going to take you in. Yeah, you're out of here. Beat it. No. In fact, the way it's written, the father didn't even hear him. Verse 22, the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That was put here in the Bible for a reason, to show us that if we will just simply obey God's command, do what He says. If we have sinned, we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive. And when He forgives, He forgives. Don't allow sin to bring us to the point of dismay, be separated from our strength. As John chapter 3 makes it clear, we need to go to the light, not run from it. Get our sin taken care of. We're familiar with Isaiah 66:2. God says, To this man will I look, he that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's what God is looking for. In Psalm 32, if you'll go over there, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. David says, well, let's just start in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You know, you read also in the Psalms where the Bible makes it clear He hath not dealt with us according to our sins. What a blessedness that is. We just need to take God at His word. Verse 3, When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. What was David's sin? Well, we know two of them, Psalm 51. Adultery and murder. And if God can forgive David of those, don't you think He can forgive you? Of course He can. That's what He wants to do. Don't allow sin to keep you, to separate you from your strength. Lamentations chapter 3. A lot of times we don't hear much from the book of Lamentations, but these verses are the ones we go to quite often. Jeremiah writes these, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And His faithfulness is great. And we need to remember that. We need to move on past the sins and mistakes in our lives. If we have truly confessed them to God and asked Him for forgiveness and make things right, then let's trust Him that He does, that He keeps His word. And let's move on. The next thing, Matthew chapter 14. Another thing that causes dismay is looking around us instead of on God. Another familiar passage, Matthew chapter 14, the disciples on the sea. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. You know, I've often heard people kind of rake Peter over the coals for not trusting God, but I wonder how many of them would have volunteered to get out of the boat. I wouldn't. Oh, no, I'd probably be in the bottom of that boat seasick is what I'd be doing. Yet Peter says, if it's You, I'll bid me come on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So we see here Peter is an example of this, looking around what's going on instead of keeping our focus upon God. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. You'll go back there for a moment. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 7. We have Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, coming up and laying siege to Jerusalem. And as you read this chapter, you see that Hezekiah and the people are doing everything they can to prepare and defend the city and everything that's possible. But the Bible says that Hezekiah speaks to the people. He speaks comfortably to them in verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Isaiah 37 gives us the passage where God answers Hezekiah's prayer and he speaks to the king of Assyria and it lets us know that Assyria is nothing more than his tool and he's going to take care of them, which he did very handily. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 through 16. One more passage here. Looking around us instead of on God will cause dismay. I believe it was Corrie Ten Boom, if I'm not mistaken, had a saying. I'll try not to mess it up, but she was in the internment camps in World War II. She was Jewish. She survived that. Her sister was she died in one of the camps. But she had a saying that said, look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. And that's a really good saying. It's true. When we start looking around at what's going on, how can you not help but be distressed? Everything that seems to be out of control. Well, that's the secret. We don't focus on the things that are going on around us. Our focus is to remain on the one who does not change, upon God Himself. Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. You know, incensed against, isn't that a good way to describe how the world is looking at Jesus Christ and at the Jews? It's irrational. They are incensed. They're just mad. But what's going to happen to them? Exactly what God says here. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. We need to remember God's promises to us and keep our focus on Him. Don't allow our focus to be distracted onto the things going on around us, because if we do, we will be dismayed. That's one of the tactics the devil uses. If he can get our focus off of God and onto the things going around us, we are going to be separated from our strength. Because what else could happen? It's like living in the world and living for the flesh. If you are determined to stay in the flesh, you will not be able to serve God and live for Him like He wants you to. It's not possible. Even if you have a heart to, I want to do things for God. Well, if you're determined to stay in the world and satisfy the flesh, it will not happen. Well, it's the same thing here. If we do not keep our focus on God, we are going to end up dismayed. It will be the natural result. We need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 10, we have just another short item here. In the day and time we live, it's interesting. Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. And all of our educated people like to laugh at people in the ancient times and say, oh, they were all scared to death of eclipses and all the signs in the heavens, and they thought those were bad things and everything, and how dumb were they? Ha, ha, ha. Well, here we are again. We have these blood moons, we have the eclipses, and what is everybody doing? The same thing the ancient people did. Oh, we're going to all die, it's going to blow up, we're all going to collide with the planets, everything's going to fall to pieces. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Don't be dismayed at seeing these things happen. You have the Word of God, remember? God told you what was going to happen, not every detail. But if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, the next thing that's going to happen for us is He's coming back and taking us out of here. So what if the planets collide? I mean, they're not going to, but so what if they do? What, God can't handle the planets? He made them. He put them where they are now. Let's not let our focus be taken away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow these things to take our focus off of what truly matters. When we focus on the opposition of man or man's reaction to the gospel or to our witness, Jeremiah chapter 1, we're right there in Jeremiah. Look at verse 17. What God tells him when He calls him into the ministry. He tells Jeremiah in verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. We see that with Ezekiel as well. God told Ezekiel that. They're not going to listen. But you tell them exactly what I tell you to tell them. Do not allow yourself to be dismayed by their reaction. We need to heed that advice as well. We can't allow ourselves to be dismayed because people don't like the witness that we are. They don't like to see Jesus Christ in our lives. And they may try to make our life miserable, to make our life rough, to fight against us as God said the people would against Jeremiah. We can't allow that to cause us to dismay. We must keep our focus on God. Keep our focus on Him. Don't look around. Look to Jesus. And then one more thing tonight. It's kind of a parallel point, but it is a little bit different. Listening to the words of men instead of the Word of God. Listening to the words of men instead of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17 gives a classic example of this, because this is the chapter where we meet Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 4 starts out describing him and how tall he was and the impressive power that he had and all of his armor, how big it was. And verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Oh, by the way, they didn't keep that bargain, did they? He died. According to the agreement that he drew up, that he put out, they then were supposed to be the servants of Israel. Didn't happen that way. You know, as you go through and study the Philistines, every time they talk, it's nothing but talk. They did the same with Jonathan and his armor bearer. Remember, Jonathan told his armor bearer, if they tell us to come up, then we'll come up because the Lord has delivered them. But if they say stay there, then we'll stay here. And what was, you know, it's almost like he knew the Philistines. They were all talk. As soon as they see two Hebrews, yeah, come on up. We'll show you a thing. Yeah, we're gonna show you, blah, blah, blah. And they were the ones that got shown. That's all they do. They talk. They talk, 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 and they can never back it up. The main reason being because they chose to fight against the true God of Israel. But after this agreement, verse 10, he says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Isn't that sad? Because did God not prove himself all through the book of Judges and up to this point when they fought the giants that were in the land, when Caleb, who was 80 plus years old, went and said, give me this mountain, remember Caleb? He said, we couldn't go in 40 years earlier because I wanted to clean out the giants. Well, they're still there and I want the mountain, and give me my mountain. And he cleaned out the giants. God helped him then. Why can't God help them now? And there's only one giant here. But yet, because they listened to the words of man, they were separated from their strength. They were dismayed. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? This is horrible. We can't beat him. We can't win here. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. Second Kings 19 and verse 20. This is what we mentioned earlier about the Lord answering Hezekiah's prayer, and the Lord speaking to Assyria here. And he says in verse 21, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. And this applies to Goliath back there in 1 Samuel 17, because that's exactly what David told him when he walked out. You have defied the living God of Israel, and he is the one who's gonna deliver you into my hand today. And that's exactly what happened. And by the way, it wasn't with a sword, it was with a stone. A stone. That's like God using Deborah to defeat the chariots of iron back in the book of Judges. I think God does it to show exactly what he tells all of these instances. I'm with you. I'm the one who will do this. I don't need your power and strength for this. Just trust me. I just need your availability. I'll take care of it. But when we listen to the words of men instead of the words of God, we become dismayed. There is no counsel against the Lord, the Bible says, and yet how many times have we listened to what man is telling us and saying us, and we can't do it. Oh, no, it's not going to work. Well, if God says it is, then what do we care what man says? Why is it so horrible for us when man says something against what God has said, and we side with man? We believe what man says. That makes no sense. And yet so often we're prone to do it. We are so willing to listen to man when God has made it abundantly clear in his word exactly what he has told us to do, and he just expects us to do it. But too often we don't want anything to do with it. You know, when Elisha and his servant, when the king of Syria sent his army to catch Elisha because Elisha was foiling all of his plans, and his servant went out and saw the whole huge host of Syria surrounding the city, remember, he panicked. He said, what are we going to do? You know, there's nowhere to go. And what was Elisha's answer? He said, fear not, there are more to be with us than with them. And he prayed to God and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes. The Bible says he opened his eyes and he saw that the hills and the mountains were full of chariots of fire. He got his focus right. Instead of looking at others around us, instead of listening to the words of men, we need to cling to the words of God and listen to that. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 28. Jeremiah 44, verse 28. God tells the rebellious children of Judah here that did not listen to him and stay in the land, but listened to the words of man. Said, no, we can't. We're going to die. God said, stay and I'll establish you. No, we got to leave. And they rebelled against the final warning. And God says here, yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs." I like that verse because God makes it clear. If it comes down to my word or man's word, just see whose word will stand. Zechariah chapter 1, God reminds the children of Israel of that. He said, "Your fathers didn't listen to me." He said, "Where are they now? Everything that I said I would do, I did. Everything they said they would do didn't happen." God's word stands. That is why we must base our life upon it. Build our life on the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." It is the one thing that is eternal. There's one big cause for dismay today, I believe, and that's found in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4. This has been going on for quite some time now. In earnest, since the late 1800s. The Bible says here, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." I don't know of anything that could cause more dismay than for someone to go into what is supposed to be the house of God and hear the supposed man of God speaking from the pulpit of how the Bible is full of errors, that God really didn't mean what He said, that everything in the Bible really is just a myth and an allegory, it's so we can just learn some deep spiritual lessons, but it really is full of hogwash. You'd be a bit depressed too, wouldn't you? Yeah, and is it a wonder that when we look around and see everything that's going on, that it is the way it is? When for over 100 years, a vast majority of those who claim to be clergy in not only this nation, but many others, have been doing that very thing for so long. What else can you expect from people who are searching for the truth and going to where they think they can find some answers, and all they get is depressing? Everything they get shows them there's no hope. Now, we just had an example just in one of the local papers here. Someone who claims to be a clergyman, every single article he has written, I just feel like just going up to him and saying, "Can you stop playing a hypocrite? If what you claim to believe you think is so offensive and you have to hide it and change it that much, just lose it. Drop it, okay? Go get a real job then. Quit pretending that you're some spiritual help to everybody when all you can do is tear apart the book that you claim is supposed to teach great spiritual truths. Adam and Eve wasn't real. Everybody knows that. That's just there as an allegory, so we can learn some deep spiritual truth. If that's a lie, how can you find any truth in this book? And yet they won't even stop to think and consider it. They're so embarrassed and ashamed of the thing they're, quote, by the way, making money on. It's just a job to them. But they're so ashamed of it, they can't even stand up for it. And you wonder why so many people are turned away from religion. Well, this is a big cause for dismay today. Because the Word of God has been replaced by the Word of man. Now we go back to Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. You know, as I was speaking this morning in Upper Sandusky about Israel and how it had gotten to the place where they had no weapons. The Philistines had disarmed them and removed the blacksmiths from the nation. And the Israelites had allowed their enemy to disarm them and then were going to their enemy to have their instruments sharpened. They're relying on their enemy to sharpen their instruments. And there is no one, a smith, the one who is skilled in his art, the one who is practiced in his art. There was no one in the nation of Israel who could who could work on those weapons. It fits in very nicely with Hebrews 5, where the Bible says we need to have our senses exercised by reason of use. There was no one there who did. And they were relying on their enemy to get their to have their weapons taken care of. As a spiritual soldier, this is my sword. What sense does it make for me to hand this over to a bunch of unregenerated, educated men and then turn to them and say, can you give me deep spiritual truths from the Word of God? That's exactly what Israel was doing. You're my enemy. Here's all my weapons. Oh, by the way, can you sharpen my plow? Come on. Yet how many people are doing that today? They're not going to save, born-again, blood-bought people who know the Word of God. They're going to unregenerated people who don't have a clue. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And if that's how people are trying to get their spiritual food and trying to get some spiritual compass for their lives, it's no wonder there's so much dismay. Joshua chapter 1. Verses 7 through 9. We need to encourage ourselves just as God encouraged Joshua here. He tells him, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We have the same promise. Did not Jesus give us that promise before he went back to heaven? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's why he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We have God's promise that He will be with us. He will do the work. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it, the Bible says. If we will just simply trust God. Don't allow these things to bring dismay in our lives. Don't allow these things to separate us, deprive us of our strength. We need to rest in God and keep our focus on Him and remember that He is with us. It's not up to us. He has the ability. He has the strength. We just need to be available and allow Him to use us as He sees fit. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Again, are you listening to us tonight and don't know Christ as your Savior? The Bible is clear. You must accept Christ. You must accept what He did for you on the cross. He loved you so much that He died in your place to pay the price for your sin. Because He rose again from the dead, He's proven that He has complete and total victory over death, hell, and the grave. And if you will simply come to Him, confess your sin and repent, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christian, is there some area in your life that's causing you dismay? Have you been separated from your strength? Have you been deprived of your strength? Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. God is able. If there's some sin in your life you're just having trouble getting past, give it to God and leave it with Him. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Have you been looking around you instead of on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you listening to the words of men instead of the Word of God? These three areas will cause us dismay if we're not careful. Father in heaven, I pray You would help us to remember these things. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the encouragement that You give us. Thank You for the promises that You would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You for the promises that You change not. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, please help us to remember who You are. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus upon You, to listen to Your Word. I pray, Father, if there's one here who does not know You as Savior, if there's one here who does know You as Savior, but just struggling with some area in their life, that they would get that taken care of this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.